The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Open line through till one, so anything you want to talk about could be right here. Well done to Jay. Breakfast this morning on Manx Radio. Manx lifeboats have saved 1,665 lives in 200 years. The RNLI's 200th anniversary is today. I think that merits a selfie with William Hillary, don't you? I'm sure you could manage it today. Vehicle access at the Roundhouse stops today, and Brandon commissioners say they intend to defy the government order to restrict vehicle access. How on earth did it come to this? David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I actually sent you some pictures. I took the opportunity over the weekend to go round the facility. It wasn't open, but I did go round the whole facility there.
I'm looking at them now.
It just brings to mind there, Mr. Hooper is that worried. Why didn't he do something for those holes that have been there for months on end? Because you can go round the road. The holes, the tarmac road into the site, into the Roundhouse area, is perfect. Parking places, as you can charge your electric car, you could probably do your wheelchair if you were there and plug it in and get some solar heating from it. But I just wonder, why does Mr. Hooper want to be in a gang that's going against the local authority and he's trying to collect supporters from the council and ministers? I feel ashamed as an individual now in the Isle of Man, being Manx, born and bred. They can't deport me because I live here, I was born here. Is that this situation has come to this particular point?
And I think, David, I think most of the public, you know, the normal citizen will look at this and think,
joke.
I mean, how did this get? If it were April the 1st, we'd say, ha, 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 ha. But, I mean, it simply has to move on. Somebody somewhere has got to do something about this, because anybody looking at us from across will just say International Business Centre, and they can't sort out access to a leisure centre.
Yeah. And the other, I just wondered when I looked through the good and the greatest in the Isle of Man, who would actually arbitrate this out? So you start at the top with a crown dependency. I know we're not in the UK, but we're a crown dependency. Does it require the governor to get involved? Eh? I don't think.
Well, you just wonder where it's going to end and who is. I mean, in just a few moments' time, we'll hear from the chair of Brand Commissioners, Andrew Jessop, who's got some choice words. But really, it's almost like, well, haven't we got better things to sort out? Can't we sort out access to a flipping leisure centre?
And I just wonder, is this a distraction from Mr. Hooper because he's losing the vote on the bishop? And he's got to have something as a headline to keep himself alive. If I was the people in Ramsey now, I'd be ringing him up. If he's my MHK, I'd be saying to him, don't bother in future knocking on my door. And that's what they should say to him. But who's going to arbitrate this out? And maybe in the Isle of Man, through Manx Radio, we can make the decision. We'll go and have a look, make an assessment. The evidence is there. And just say, what's wrong? There's plenty of land there. Just do it.
All right. Thanks, David.
Bye, Andy.
All right, the government's issued what Braddon commissioners describe as a, well, I'll let the chairman tell you what sort of letter it is, stating its intention to enforce restrictions to vehicle access at its new community centre, the Roundhouse. Now, this comes after DHSC, the Department of Health and Social Care, sent a 28-day notice to prohibit access, arguing safeguarding measures put in force by Braddon commissioners weren't rigorous enough. Some of the commissioners appear to say they're going to defy the order. John Moss from Manx Radio News has been there to have a look.
In the letter it says to us, as from Monday 4th of March, the DHSC has previously advised, has instructed that no access will be permitted via the hospital and in line with the risk assessment and other documentation. This position remains unchanged following the Council of Ministers meeting, and the DHSC has instructed that relevant signage monitoring enforcement is in place.
So we've got this £10 million facility now, 6 plus 3.5, etc., sitting there doing nothing. Is this a big mistake by Braddon to have gone into this in the first place?
I would say exactly the opposite. You know, we were actually given the land by the DHSS, which was a forerunner of the DHSC, specifically to build community facilities. So, yeah, we've
it's
done...
It's a rather dramatic one, though, isn't it? I mean, it's a fabulous facility, but have you over-egged the pudding?
I would say not, you know, because obviously we've been involved in consultations with the public and everybody else for over 20 years. So, yes, we haven't gone and built this on a whim. And as we keep pointing out, we had to go through hoops in order to get permission to actually get the planning through, to get the money to borrow.
You've got all sorts of things in there waiting to go. I mean, I've seen dentists, beauticians, all sorts of things, massive sports hall, and that's waiting to go. But will it go when you have this question mark over this access?
Well, at the moment, we obviously intend to defy.
Can I just, one or two of the commissioners here, Mr. Quay, could you come over here? What are you going to do if the barriers turn up? Are you going to throw yourself in front of the lorries?
I'm going to remove them.
You're going to remove them?
I'm going to remove them and take them away because they shouldn't be there. Simple as that.
There you heard John Quay, Braddon Commissioner, and before that, the Chair of Braddon Commissioners is Andrew Jessop, talking about this £10 million that's been spent. And as of today, can't get to it. Now, in addition to this, Braddon commissioners have been told not to contact Manx Care, but instead direct all communications through the DHSC. This follows issues with Braddon's new community centre. So, not Manx Care, but the DHSC. Okay, you will hear Andrew Jessop as well, and also you'll hear the Manx Care chief executive, Theresa Cope, talking about this. But first of all, again, Andrew Jessop.
Well, we've been talking to Manx Care, or our clerk has, since 2022 about either the new access or mitigation measures to do with using the existing hospital roads. And we felt that we had got very close to satisfying their concerns. Then we were informed that they were no longer able to speak directly to us, and that everything had to now go through the Department of Health. Interestingly, when Mr. Hooper was appointed to the position back in 2021, he's on record as saying that operational and safety matters at the hospital were a matter for Manx Care, not the department.
So our operational teams have had some contact with the Braddon commissioners. Obviously, it's a matter that is being led by the Department of Health and Social Care, but we have had some involvement in terms of some of those meetings and understanding the operational impact. So Manx Care have produced a risk assessment which has taken into account a wide range of concerns regarding the access of the to the roundhouse through the Nobles site, and that has been shared with the Department of Health and Social Care. Yes, there has been issues raised regarding access for emergency vehicles, and that has all been taken into consideration. It is only one of the considerations, but as I say, the Department of Health and Social Care are leading on this.
There you go. In the middle of that conversation with Theresa Cope, Chief Exec of Manx Care, a risk assessment has been done. So, tacit approval years ago, subsequently a risk assessment, and that's the top and bottom of it. That's what's happening. Braddon commissioners, well, you heard John Quay, may be manhandling the barriers to get through. You wonder what's going to happen. Who's going to enforce this? What's the government going to do about this? Who's going to, as David said, who is going to arbitrate for this? big problem now for the roundhouse access after saying it's unsafe. What happens if somebody is injured? Who is liable? Says WhatsApper 693. Crux of it all, you may have heard me mention this before, but at the bottom of everything, the people who will make all the decisions in our lives in the future are the insurance assessors. Because if you can't get insurance, you can't open anything. And the insurance assessors will now be looking at, and if a risk assessment's been done for the roundhouse and the access, then the insurance assessors will have to look at it. And as the correspondent says, if there is an accident, well, who's going to foot the bill? I've supported the government. Gary dropped a note in on 773. I've supported government for many years. I appreciate elected politicians have a huge job and trying to do it as best as they can. But I'm losing respect for their stance over the roundhouse debacle. The Chief Minister should take personal control of this issue and work with commissioners to get this facility opened for business. As Andrew Jessop said, this isn't a wing and a prayer thing. This has not just been dreamt up. This has been going on for years and years and years. Braddon is a very big local authority, collects a lot of money, and they've taken on this debt. They've taken on this to provide a leisure facility and a business for opportunity for people. As John mentioned, there's due to be a dentist in there, for heaven's sake. It's not like we don't need dentists, is it? So Braddon commissioners are providing this. They were given the land by government. So it's not like government didn't know about this. And here we are. More notes in as well. And this one says, Andy, the best way to attract clinicians regarding like surgeons at Nobles and what have you, maybe we have to provide suitable financial incentives, a period of low tax, trying to get doctors on the Isle of Man, and nurses, housing priority. How do we do this? Well, it's just one of the many problems that the Chief Minister has, and that is how to square this particular circle of financial progress on the Isle of Man, to get the economy moving, to get financial growth, economic growth, to provide money, to provide public services. But underneath all this, the promise of bringing in 15,000 extra people to get our population up to 100,000 so we can really motor on and provide money and facilities for everybody. Unfortunately, says 768, the roundhouse is a Braddon Commissioner's project, not one of central government. So they say that we have limited influence over its progress. Laurie Hooper says the government's trying to support and work with Braddon to help them build the access road they need and have planning permission for a requirement they were advised 2 years ago and several times since. Laurie Hooper says the matter is complicated by the fact Braddon are currently in breach of their planning conditions for the roundhouse and have advised us they may not have the necessary funds for completion of the necessary works. Access is therefore only one of the challenges Braddon appear to be facing with this build. In terms of the risk to the hospital, says Mr. Hooper, Manx Care's advised that the estimated additional 1,300 vehicles a day, it's about 100 vehicles an hour during daylight hours, would present a significant safety risk. And from Mr. Hooper's perspective, the safety of operations, patients and staff at Nobles is paramount. Risk assessment. It's John who just said on 557, David's correct, Mr. Hooper is swanning around because of the Bishop debacle. Regarding Braddon vehicle access, says Dave, it's been safe to have HGVs and hundreds of cars and vans used by tradespeople for the last few years. No issues reported. I think this is a bit pathetic. It's embarrassing for the Isle of Man and sounds like an ego trip for politicians. Seems Mr. Hooper is having a tantrum, says Sue, regardless of who he tramples underfoot. It's a bit extreme. Where are the thousands of vehicles going to come from? I think this is all wildly overestimated, in my opinion. And what on earth was Howard Quayle doing giving permission in the first place? Well, he was Minister for Health and Social Care, 3 to 8 at the time that it was given. It's a bit of a childish mess, says Fran. It needs to be sorted out. I'd love to be a fly on the wall at this week's meeting. Why has access to the roundhouse only just become an issue? It's taken years to build the facility. The amount of vans and wagons that have used the very same road to deliver goods and materials and bricklayers. Surely that smaller vehicles, that's cars and vans, will be using the very same road. It will be far safer and surely less of an issue. You would have thought somebody thought of that before. In my opinion, the project's a vanity one. There are plenty of halls and sports venues and meeting rooms in the district. The commissioners, I think, were naive when dealing with government. They should have simply put in the planned excess. C, that is. Well, I'm trying to think. In Braddon, is there a sports hall, a big sports hall? This is in the heart of Braddon. And perhaps there's going to be some more houses built up there. You never know. But they chose it. It's been going on for years and years and years. Never thought I'd say this, but actually looking at moving across, says Southern Andy. We're being governed by MHKs who spend more time stirring up social media to change politics and petty ministers acting like children in a playground. I part own a road with government 50-50, and they've discovered that if a member of the public was injured, if they use the road, I'd be held liable. I can't get insurance to cover the risk, which is now cast doubt on our house insurance. 223 drops a note in. If I was to buy the other half of the government and maintain the road, I can get insurance as being the sole owner. For 3 years, I've been trying to arrange a meeting with the government department involved, but to date, no reply, no response, says 223. Thanks for that message. And 179 says, the NSC is only 10 minutes ago. I think it was totally unnecessary. Well, it's not just a sports hall. It's a leisure centre. I think they can put on, you know, shows and stuff there. It's big enough, certainly, and you really can't do that. You can't really put a show on inside the badminton court in the NSC. Not that I know of, anyway. Kevin dropped a note in and said, Laurie Hooper's showing himself up over this and his department over the roundhouse. This is after getting away for, the extra 2% tax. So I don't think the two things are connected, but we get the point as well. Thank you, Kev. Good to hear from you. And another way of getting rid of cars altogether, says Des. Oh, they're not going to make us walk to Braddon, are they, do you think, Desmond? They've already started constructing the access road for the roundabout. So Mike on 437 says, Andy, come on then, what is the fuss if all this has started? Now, we were meaning to get to this last week, but I'd like your opinion on this. And it is the vaccination of measles. There's been a worrying surge in the number of measles cases in England. And it's behind a new campaign urging parents to get their children vaccinated against measles. In the UK, cases in the West Midlands up almost half, 46%. In the northwest of England, 19%, London, 14%. So we've asked Public Health for an update on the level of uptake on the Isle of Man. But one thing I'd like to ask you, has anybody in your family had measles lately? Is it a cause for concern? Is there an outbreak of measles on the Isle of Man, I wonder? Simon Richardson's been looking at it.
Measles, mumps and rubella are all unpleasant illnesses with the potential to leave a person with ongoing health issues. The UK has seen a worrying fall-off in the number of children receiving vaccinations, especially post-COVID. MMR vaccine is administered by means of a two-dose schedule, with the first dose recommended at 12 months and the second at 3 years and 4 months. Teens, young people and adults can catch up if they've missed one or both doses in their life and are actively encouraged to do so. Measles normally clears up in about 10 days, but complications can be extremely unpleasant, leading to blindness, seizures, meningitis, and even death. Common symptoms include high fever, sore, red and watery eyes, coughing and sneezing. Small white spots may appear in the mouth, and a blotchy red or brown rash normally appears after a few days, usually on the face and behind the ears, before spreading to the rest of the body. You can catch measles at any age if you haven't been vaccinated. Only 85% of children starting primary school in the UK have had both jabs, well below the 95% target required to halt the spread of the disease. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has warned of the growing threat of measles.
So, anybody in your circle, children, anyone else, had measles lately? If there's a spike in the UK, it could have been transferred over here because of travel. And I was reminded, by the way, MMR is the multiple vaccination that children normally have, the measles, mumps and rubella. Rubella is the other name for German measles. So we can't call it German measles anymore. It's rubella. I will never trust a vaccine again after COVID and the injuries that occurred from it. It's amazing, isn't it, how attitudes have changed. Once upon a time, vaccines were seen as universally beneficial, life-saving indeed, and certainly terribly convenient if you want to go abroad. You need to be vaccinated for some travel overseas. And certainly if you're heading to the Far East or to the Indian subcontinent, you need to be covered. There are many required vaccines to even go to certain destinations. The typhoid vaccine, diphtheria, hepatitis A, B, and many others. And once upon a time, back in the 1950s, the polio vaccination was seen as changing the world. I mean, eradicating polio was a pernicious, horrible disease, and the vaccination absolutely wiped it out. Smallpox, ditto as well. TB, consumption, tuberculosis was a killer as well. So anything, any signs of measles on the Isle of Man? This online petition, says 715, demanding the removal of the Chief Minister. Why hasn't one of the MHK speaking on Facebook against this present administration put their name to it or to bring a motion to Timwell? This is posturing from certain MHKs, says Paul. Don't know whether you've seen this, but there is a petition doing the rounds on social media, and it is social media. But talking of a vote of no confidence in the Chief Minister, well, really, that can only be brought about by MHKs. Otherwise, we're just kind of waving bits of paper in the wind outside. But an online petition, and the other point is, nobody knows where the people who've signed an online petition actually come from. They could have been in, well, the Indian subcontinent, in Australia, Glasgow, anywhere, so we don't really know. So, I mean, is there anything in this? Anything in this as well? This vote of no confidence, this petition going around. We'll see. There's still a bit of time left if anything can be put in for tomorrow morning's proceedings. Thank you, Bob. On 488, fewer people are vaccinating their children because of the COVID jab lies we were told. Well, this is Bob's words, by the way, and since have been disproving that it is safe and effective. We need the trust back to get people to take proper vaccines. The only way to do that is to hold the hands up and admit that the COVID jab was never safe. Says, these are Bob's words, by the way. It's his opinion. You won't read this out, as you're not allowed to say anything negative about the COVID jab, apparently, says Bob. Bob's got an inside take on this. So, Bob, I mean, if you could be specific about this, what were the COVID jab lies? What were they? Please don't send me links to social media or sites coming out of Kazakhstan. So do you really think that because some people didn't like the COVID jab or didn't want to take it, that's why people aren't taking the measles jab and putting children at risk? Why didn't Mr. Hooper raise his concerns before a spade went into the ground, says 713. I don't know about an outbreak of measles. There's a pandemic of stupidity around at the moment. That's Fran. I think Fran's a Freemason. I think he knows all about... Well, he tells me he's a Freemason. He tells me he goes to a Wednesday night club. I know nothing about it. And I suspect neither does Fran. Frank. Francis. Frankie. While everyone's distracted by the Roundhouse fiasco, government will gloss over more serious failings. The theory of camouflage, political camouflage? Well, we'll see, shall we? How many people do you think will have been away for half term and returned infected? Well, if they're having the measles jab, everything should be okay. So, well, thanks to 328, call 66 13 68 328 and you'll be on the air straight away. Thanks for calling and priming me for that as well. Thank you, John, as well. There are a lot of people on the Isle of Man, including me, are concerned that our government's made no attempt to exempt us all from pandemic treaty amendment bills, which the island must opt out of before May 24th, or we lose our fundamental human rights, democracy and sovereignty. Why isn't our government acting, says 775. Give us a call, 775. You'd be a bit more specific about what it is you mean and what do you think our government should be doing and what rights do you think we're giving away.
Here at Q-Plus, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Q-Plus supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Q-Plus on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Q-Plus.
We'll gathered here today.
All her friends thought Kerry was going to be a right bridezilla. She was so determined that everything had to be totally perfect. But they needn't have worried, because Cornister Bank had Kerry's back.
Do you, Kerry, have the Cornister feeling?
I so do.
Wedding finance with a 3-month honeymoon period before payments start. Visit cornisterbank.co.im and you can get the Cornister feeling too. All loans are subject to status, terms and conditions apply. Early settlement fees apply.
Got some spare time on your hands? You could help our environment, help the elderly, help our children, help animals, help our community. It's Volunteers Week, and if you've ever thought about becoming a volunteer and would like to find a role that suits your interests, come along to the Volunteer Recruitment Event sponsored by Douglas Rotary Club this Saturday, 10 till 2pm, with free refreshments inside the garden room at the Sefton Hotel. Whatever your interest, become a volunteer. We'll help you find a great match.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you, with a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations, and always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Ahead of the 200th anniversary of the RNLI, we wanted to get a feel for what it takes to be a lifeboat volunteer. On Thursday evening, I was invited to go out with the crew from Port Erin Station aboard the inshore lifeboat. What ensued for just over an hour could be likened to the most intense roller coaster ride of my life. Listen as I hold on with all hope to my microphone on exercise with Port Erin RNLI. That's Island Life with me, Lewis Foster, tonight at 6 o'clock. Available as a podcast afterwards at manxradio.com.
Where else can you do this?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one on Manx Radio. And a question in, this is Graham who was talking about what's happened to the climate change fund in the budget this year. What's going to happen? The climate change fund's preserving its current total of £25.7 million unallocated funding for the forthcoming year, apparently ready to assist departments in the meeting the Isle of Man's net zero carbon emissions target by 2050. We have to be net zero by 2050. Funding in this year's programme includes £10 million for climate change mitigation and adaption projects as well. So we are preserving this climate fund, but I mean, apart from, where's the money going? This climate change fund, £25.7 million unallocated funding, assisting departments to meet the net zero carbon emissions target. So the money is still there. It's just that we don't quite know where it's going. Later on to Monday and Friday, remember, throughout our 60th anniversary year, this is our 60th anniversary year. Did you know? 1964, we first got on the air. Every Monday and Friday, we delve into the archives. And today, there's an absolute belter, a stoter today. You'll hear one of Manx Radio's most popular presenters paying his own musical tribute to a Manx tradition. I think this is dating back to the 1960s. It's one of Manx Radio's favourite presenters. Sadly, no longer with us. But after Man in Line today, you'll hear our 60th anniversary delve back into the archive. A fine Manx tradition. Jonathan says 100% of the petitioners are genuine and live on the Isle of Man. How do you know that, Jonathan? Is it your petition, Jonathan? I didn't know as well. The other thing is, remember, you can make up email addresses anywhere. So how do we know? I mean, social media is terrific. It's lots of fun, but it's not 100% infallible, is it? So the petition was started because MHKs failed to make themselves accountable for the way the taxpayer is being turned over by a government that wastes tens of millions of pounds a year and puts up taxes for the low paid, says Jonathan. So this is the reason. However, Jonathan, I mean, I'll say it's fine. You know, I applaud the fact you're putting, I take it it's your petition because you know all about it. But nothing's going to happen until 13 MHKs vote against the Chief Minister. It has to be there. LegCo's out of it now, so LegCo has no say. It has to be 13 MHKs. As yet, nobody. Nobody's put their head up and said. Braddon, as expected, massively overspent on the complex, and now they scream that the government won't let them use the private hospital roads. That was ever in the plans, as they are fully aware, says 715. It's unbelievable that they're going to remove barriers, says Dewan. They know they're in the wrong. I mean, surely everybody took advice where this is concerned. Surely everybody knows. You say that it's Manx Radio's 60th birthday this year. What actual date is it? Actually, there are two. Typical. Typical, isn't it? There are two. Manx Radio came on air for the TT in 1964. We broadcast from around the course in 1964 and then was officially opened by the Lieutenant Governor later on that year. There's a book all about it. You've not read the book, The Nation Station? It's great fun. Remember when we were told, says 488, that COVID jab stopped transmission and we needed 80% uptake to get herd immunity. Then when people caught COVID, it was 90% effective. Everybody ended up in the 5%. Pfizer admitted in court under oath it was never tested against transmission. They were the lies, says 488. Well, thanks for your opinion, but does that also mean that people aren't taking measles jabs as well? I mean, we did. Let's face it. Everybody believed in vaccinations, didn't they? Everybody wanted a vaccination. You were going on holiday to the Far East. Couldn't wait to get those jabs. Got to get the jabs in. Diphtheria, hepatitis and typhoid. I just wonder, when did vaccines suddenly, I mean, I know COVID was big, but was it that big that we forgot how much good vaccines did in the past? Don't want to go back to the days of the iron lung with polio, do we? Did you spot? Oh, and thank you. It's good to hear from you, Val, who said, I really enjoyed breakfast this morning with the RNLI. I think everybody, you said people should get a selfie with Sir William Hillary. He is just below us, a big statue of William Hillary below us, just on Douglas Head. So if you want to come and see William Hillary, he's up here. And 1,665 lives saved in 200 years. I don't know about you. I know a few people who are lifeboat crew around the Isle of Man. I'll be honest with you. Do you know how they do it? Do you know how people who are on the lifeboat actually put their lives that in the middle of the dark and the winter, the howling gale and the roaring seas, they go out and they look after people at sea? It's stunning. It's absolutely tremendous. And for the last 200 years, the RNLI has worked to keep us all safe while at sea. 250 lifeboat stations, more than 400 lifeboats in operations. A number, of course, here are on the Isle of Man. You may have heard people from the RNLI on the breakfast show this morning. Absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Thanks also to lots of comment coming. I'll try and get to most of the comments today. Hopefully I will anyway. What procedures are for the public to follow are in place when the war starts with Russia? Do we have shelters and radiation tablets at the ready, says TJ. I think you're getting a bit ahead of yourself, TJ, to be quite honest. I don't think we're at that stage yet. But no doubt Home Affairs have got it on their radar. It's 19 minutes before one, and Richard's with us. Hi, Richard.
How you doing? You all right, mate?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Manx Care, and I'm not really on Man in Line very often, but I know it's public service broadcasting, so I'm clueing up. Anyway, I get all the iPads. I was there today, fresh. And it just reminded me to remind people that if you're in, you know, hospital or you're thinking about going to hospital, the only thing the nurses actually say to you because you're so bored is get an iPad. You know, it can be a second-hand one or whatever. But that's basically okay, yeah. So it's a good insurance policy just to have an iPad. That's all I'm going to make a note of. It's not really a question.
Okay. I mean, don't the televisions work? Oh, do you mean going in for to stay?
Oh, they
or
do
just
work with iPad. They do work with iPad, yeah. They work on, is it AirPlay or something like that?
Yeah.
But I had the camera.
All right, okay, we've lost your signal, but we get the picture. If you go into hospital, take an iPad, then you'll stop getting bored.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
Everyone's more conscious of energy usage nowadays, so Manx Utilities has begun installing smart meters for standard domestic customers island-wide. With our Smart Living app available too, you'll be in control of tracking and managing your energy. No need to contact us. We'll be in touch when we're ready to fit your smart meter. Visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.in. Manx Utilities, delivering a smarter future.
Discover a fabulous range of watches, gifts and jewellery at Ramsey Art Gallery with top brand watches from Bulova, Citizen Eco Drive and Storm to Acuras, Seconda and Timex. Plus, all watch purchases come with free lifetime watch bracelet adjustment service. There's stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions and of course a fabulous gallery of limited edition prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite Ramsey RNLI Shop.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. Visit Pacesetter on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. space set of bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Lucy's with us now. Hi, Lucy.
Hiya, you right?
Good, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just ringing to let you know that we had our RNLI night, our charity fundraiser, on Saturday night.
Oh, where was it?
At the Welbeck Hotel in Douglas.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have many teams over from UK, Ireland, to Nafar, Wales, and we thought we'd give back because they've been coming to us every time they come over to the Isle of Man to do their carry out their duties, and we give them preferential rates as it is, but I thought it would be good to raise some more funds for them, so I came up with, well, I got given the idea to do a charity fundraiser event.
Okay, so when you say you, I mean, is this RNLI teams that come to the Isle of Man?
It is, yeah. So the various community teams, etc.
Okay, how much did you raise on Saturday?
Over £1,000.
That's fantastic.
1,040 to 1,050. I've just found some more money in there, in a bucket. So.
And okay, were you just collecting? Was there a raffle or what was it?
There was a raffle. Ticket on the door was £15 per person. So half of that went to the RNLI, and half of that was fish and chips for each person. And then they entered into the raffle, which was a minimum of £5 donation.
I don't know about you, Lucy, but being on a lifeboat crew would frighten the life out of me. I mean, I simply don't know how they do it.
No, I don't either, but what they do is fantastic. We were lucky enough to have two of them in with us. The rest, of course, were at the Westminster Abbey. But we were lucky to have Lee and Simon in, and have the support of the local lifeboat station, because they brought all the bunting, and we had a cardboard cutout, and various things all around the hotel, decorating it, some flags outside as well. So it was fantastically supported by the lifeboat teams as well.
Okay, well, next time you have one, another RNLI night, just let us know and we'll give it a plug.
I will, yeah. It was kind of, I mean, running a hotel and trying to organise various events alongside this, it was a bit of a challenge, but we got there and it was an amazingly successful night. So I'm just really proud of how we did, really.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Lucy. It's good to hear. When does the cheque get handed over?
So Claire Barber as well, the MHK, she came in to support. Sorry, I nearly missed her there. She came in to support and she said we're going to be doing a press release sometime this week. So I'll keep you updated on that.
Appreciate it, Lucy. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Back to the many, many messages in today and the procedures. We've done the Russian one. I don't think we're at World War yet. The climate change, $25 million, was allocated by David Ashford when he was Treasury Minister. The next year, Dr. Rowlandson gave $5.4 million more to it, and this year he gave up to £10 million more. Half what extra went to health this year, and $4 million more than's going to the roads, when we really need money so much, especially when we haven't spent the first $25 million. It would be nice to know what that climate change fund is going on. People are blaming each other for the roundhouse debacle, and of course, says Sue on 768, solves nothing, doesn't do anything. Point at each other all you want. So Mr. Hooper, the Minister of DHSC, needs to get a grip, start working with the commissioners to find a solution as well. I'm sure the truth will come out. It can't be it can't be just one side's fault. Surely people knew what was... Somebody somewhere must have known what was going to happen. As Theresa Cope mentioned, there was a risk assessment done at some point. We don't know when. But surely there was a result of that risk assessment. And surely the notes got distributed to everybody. And somebody would say, there's a red flag here. Something's going to happen. At least the bishop's vote gives Tynwald a code of practice that may challenge their devotion to atheism and this eager push for nihilistic assisted death, says TJ. I feel the politicians should consider the Christian perspective. Well, I don't know whether you spotted last week, but Westminster's getting very animated by the fact that we have an assisted dying bill that is on the way. Of course, there's no decision on it yet. There's been no decision on it. But Westminster is bothered about it. And, of course, typically, I think they may get hold of the wrong end of the stick. There's lots of talk about death tourism, whereas our bill will specifically be for people who've been resident on the Isle of Man for more than 2 years. I think, says John in Farm Hill, the opposition to vaccination came about a few years ago when a doctor said there was a link between MMR and autism. Of course, that's been disproven. Some people now believe all vaccines are dangerous. That was very much the thing at the time, wasn't it? A link between MMR and autism, but no. Ramsey commissioners were told the £40 million climate fund, now £25 million, was for studies and reports only. Of course, now Mrs. Kane has moved to DESC. Who is running the Climate Change Transformation Board? At the moment, I think it's still Mrs. Kane, but I'm standing corrected. The fear of vaccinations, traditionally manufactured vaccines are proven to be safe, unlike this new type of mRNA, which was used in the pandemic, says 962. I think that's changed people's view of it. People are suspicious and possibly fearful. So we move on. Has Kroger been liquidated? What's going on about the gas? Do you know? Nobody knows at the moment. The Kroger gas project has very much gone on the back boiler. We don't quite know what's happening with that. But we'll wait to hear from Kroger. I mentioned we've got this 60th. Oh, I found out, by the way, a gentleman said, when is Manx Radio's 60th anniversary? Manx Radio went on the air 29th of June 1964. So the 29th of June was the official kind of transmission. There was a big do later on that year for an official start when they got the governor and everybody involved and they opened it officially. But the 29th of June it was. And I say without shred of bigging us up, we're the oldest radio station in the British Isles. No radio station. There have been other radio stations that have changed names and what have you, but Manx Radio has been Manx Radio since 1964. In fact, at that time, on Tynwald Day in 1964, Radio Caroline started in Ramsey Bay, and Manx Radio... still here. All the other radio stations come and they go. Steve's on now. Hi, Steve.
How's it going? All right, fella.
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Living the dream. Good man. Yeah, about the roundhouse, I just think absolute total waste of money and total waste of time. I've been in there. I won't say what work I was doing, but I was doing some work in there. So while I'm in there, I had to walk around. And it's exactly the same as you would think the NSC is. They're putting a cafeteria in downstairs. There's a sports hall. A soft play area, which is about 10 foot by 10 foot square, which is absolutely useless. Something else they've built with no thought gone into it. An outside play area, which is for the older kids, which, with, you know, rains, let's say the word raining all the time in the Isle of Man, you never get to use it. It's a total disgrace. They put a dentist in already upstairs. Let's hope it is an NHS dentist and not a private one, which let's hope that is the case. And they've got a couple of salons in there. And it's like, when you look at the building itself, what an absolute waste of money. Another big scutch of money from the, you know, the taxpayer to pay for this place. And then they hammer the business rates up, you know, down in the area to pay for this place. And when you look at it as a building, it's no different to the NSC. It's basically a sports hall.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, Steve. I wanted to get that call in before we went. So the roundhouse. story continues. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phone. He's going to be back tomorrow with another open line. On Wednesday, Aaron Michael, MHK.
WINT.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Through 60 years, Manx Radio's remit has always been to entertain, and sometimes in a uniquely Manx way. Take this, the Manx equivalent of the Little House on the Prairie, from a special and gifted Manx Radio presenter. Now then, are you sitting comfortably? And I have to be careful how I say that.
This is where we welcome one of the island's most popular folk singers, the voice of the fabulous David Collister on Manx Radio Country and Western Date. The country folks from the American backwoods had to create their own forms of amusement, and when it came to making up songs, they could only draw on their everyday experiences and sing about everyday things. Here's a modern country song which may well have summed up the attitudes of the hill folks towards their primitive sanitary arrangements, and it's called Ode to the Little Brown Shack Out Back. They passed an ordinance in the town. They said they'd have to tear it down. That little brown shack out back, so dear to me. Oh, the health department said its days were over and now dead, but it'll live forever in my memory. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town. It was not so long ago that I went tripping through the snow out to that shack behind my old hound dog. And I'd set me down to rest like a snowbird on its nest and read the Sears Roebuck catalog. I would hum a happy tune peeping through the quarter moon, just as my daddy's kin had done before. In that quiet little spot, daily cares could be forgot, and it gave the same relief to rich or poor. Don't let them tear that little brown building down. Don't let them tear that dear old building down. Don't let them tear that precious building down. For there's not another like it in the country or the town.
Part of Island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.